mandates that all accused terrorists be indefinitely imprisoned by the military rather than the civilian court system. It also unquestionably permits, but does not mandate, that even U.S. citizens on U.S. soil accused of terrorism be held by the military rather than charged in the civilian court system.
She said the bill also renews the 2001 authorization to use military force with more expansive language. She said this could continue the so-called war on terror indefinitely.
It would impose new restrictions on the U.S. government's ability to transfer detainees out of Guantanamo, which, of course, many of us were discouraged because Obama had promised to close Guantanamo, and this seems like this would keep it open, maybe even create more Guantanamos. So you can't get a worse bill. Now, this bill that passed eventually, and they even had a vote, they had two attempts to say, well, at the very least, let's not make this bill apply to U.S. citizens. And that part of the vote failed 55 to 45 in the Senate. So even that part of it, and people will say, well, it's not supposed to apply to U.S. citizens, but it's deliberately confusing.
While the original authorization to use military force hinged on 9/11 and deterring future terrorist attacks, Rowley said that according to State Department figures, the number of terrorism attacks worldwide has spiked since 1998, when there were about 160 to 700 attacks per year.
The last 5 years, we've had a range between 13,000 deaths due to international terrorism. That was low, the high, 23,000 deaths per year. Wow. And compare it, just compare it. I mean, look at the graph, would be 100 to 700, and then after this last 5 years, 13,000 to 23,000. Most Americans don't know that. And it's because, obviously, it's because it's not working. You know, what we're doing, drone bombing, night raids, all of these things, obviously it's not working. If it was working, shouldn't international terrorism be going down? Shouldn't the number of attacks, shouldn't it be going down if it was working? It's going up.
And while prisons like Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay have been criticized for inflicting torture upon detainees, she said the defense bill could lead to the creation of even more secretive prisons where even American citizens could be held captive.
And the last thing, of course, which a lot of us have been very discouraged about, is it would impose new restrictions on the U.S. government's ability to transfer detainees out of Guantanamo, which, of course, many of us were discouraged because Obama had promised to close Guantanamo. And this seems like this would keep it open, maybe even create more Guantanamos. So you can't get a worse bill.
Rowley is best known as a whistleblower who testified before the 9/11 Commission. She claimed the FBI mishandled information related to al-Qaeda supporter Zacharias Moussaoui, which she says could have prevented the terrorist attacks. She said secrecy among governmental agencies is a big problem.
The 9/11 Commission, the Joint Intelligence Committee, the Senate Judiciary, they all found one big problem. This is probably there's other things, smaller things, but the biggest one is excessive secrecy and the inability of agencies to share information with each other. And if you realize that that's the big problem, then you would not do what we're doing, which is increasing secrecy. There's 77 million decisions every year stamped top secret. And by not sharing this information and not even, and I should say one step further, the 9/11 Commission said not only was it a failure to share between agencies, it was also a failure to share with the public.
Rowley's testimony led to a major reorganization of the FBI, which she said is one of many federal agencies to lack proper communication. She said that while there are more than 1,200 alphabet soup federal agencies like the FBI and the CIA, there are also some 1,900 private contractors. And although she was able to effect change on the governmental level, she said she would also like to see some accountability from the private sector.
The last time you had a fraud prosecution, I mean, really, if you look at corporate fraud, was Enron and WorldCom. Both of those CEOs got convicted to 25 years. So when's the last time we had our government really looking at corporate financial fraud? This is kind of the problem with a military empire. We're being distracted by this war on terrorism, and meanwhile, the corruption and the fraud is taking over. Because I can't think of a last, and we've certainly have had lots of financial fraud. It's not that we haven't had it. We had Bernie Madoff prosecuted in the meantime. That's it. But the last big ones were CEOs really got significant prosecutions were Enron and WorldCom.